Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Diving deep into the Red Sox, it's Red Sox Review. Here's Brian Barrett on WEEI.
Brian Barrett with you. We're taking you all the way up until midnight after the Red Sox win this one over the Baltimore Orioles 4-3. Much needed win for the Red Sox. And here is the big news of the night. The Red Sox, since this is a one-gamer, it's a one-game scenario because of the lockout situation, the Red Sox have now won a series in the division. They're 1-11-1 in the American League East. So remember where you were tonight. Remember where you watched the game. If you were at the game, keep the ticket stub. I guess you really don't get the ticket stub anymore. Keep it on your phone. Make sure you remember where you were. The first time the Red Sox won a series against an American League East opponent, it came tonight. Now, they needed it to just be a one-gamer to be able to accomplish that incredible feat, but nonetheless, they got it done tonight. In all seriousness, though, this did feel like a big win for the Red Sox. Now, look, I'm not buying into the team right now. How could you possibly buy into this club right now? I'm not saying that whatsoever, but at least it's some relief for these guys. Especially the star players on this team, right? The Bogartses of the world, Devers, who they really have to get going right now. But some of the veterans in that clubhouse as well, the Nathan Eovaldis of the world. It's got to be somewhat of a relief because these guys are champions. These guys have been to the highest level. And this has got to suck right now, sitting here at 55-58 and looking up at the Baltimore Orioles in the division. It's got to be embarrassing for these guys, quite frankly, right now. And I know, and I've done a lot of it myself, a lot of the blame goes on Chaim Bloom of the front office. That is without question that he deserves the bulk of the blame here for where this team is at. But those guys, and especially J.D. Martinez, has got to wake up. And it feels like this weekend, Nathan Eovaldi, Michael Wacha is back, and he's going to get the opportunity to get back on the mound on Sunday. And Cutter Crawford, who was not good the other night, but we know that Cutter Crawford has been the best really starting pitcher for the Red Sox since the calendar turned to July. Not that that's saying anything, because the rest of the guys have flat out sucked. I'm not saying that Cutter Crawford deserves some award for that. I mean, it's not a big feat to be the best starting pitcher on the Red Sox right now. But based on the way the Yankees are playing right now, if the Red Sox are going to make any sort of run at this thing, and I don't believe they're going to get into the wild card based on everything that has transpired for this team, the lack of situational hitting this year, what we've seen from the bullpen, I don't believe they're getting into the postseason. But the reality is, if you just look at how the schedule lines up, this would be their opportunity to make a run with the way that the Yankees are playing right now, with the starting pitchers that they're bringing into this series. Because remember, they would, in all likelihood, have Jordan Montgomery going in one of these games. But Montgomery is now playing for the Cardinals. I still don't know why Cashman did that. The explanation was essentially that they traded him for Harrison Bader, if you didn't know. And the rationale behind that was they didn't believe that Montgomery would start in a postseason game. Well, the problem is you need guys to eat up innings during the regular season. And now they get the Hermans and the Tyones of the world that are giving you absolutely nothing. Those guys suck. The Red Sox got beat by Tony Iommi a couple of weeks ago. They hammered him. Three home runs. Vasquez homered off him. JD's last home run came off him. So it does feel like the Red Sox have a really big opportunity this weekend, at least if they want to be playing some relevant baseball for the next couple of weeks. Because if they screw this opportunity up against the Yankees team that is beat up and against the Pirates, who I don't want to say the Yankees are beat up, but you get my point. The Yankees are not playing well, and the Pirates flat out suck. They're trying to lose games. Then it's going to be the rest of the season is over. I mean, if you don't make up some ground right here in these next two series, then the season is done. And then it's over. And I don't want that to be the case. Even if I truly believe that the Red Sox are not going to make the postseason right now, I want to watch this team down the stretch of the season. At least let me be upset in October, not in August, okay? I want to see relevant baseball down the stretch of the season. By the way, here was the manager, Alex Cora, after the game.
Yeah, we won a series in the East, so good game. I mean, Wink did a good job. We're very short bullpen-wise, so we need to start getting more than five innings from the starters, you know, six innings, so we can set it up. He did a good job. He doesn't make the play at the end, but overall, a good performance, good fastball today, good sinker, and gave us a chance to win.
Would he have come back out if he'd gotten that out at
first? No. Yeah. That's why we decided to keep him there against Vavra, because if we go too early and something bad happens, then we were very short. Yeah, I mean, stay on the breaking ball, put a good swing on it. He's been hitting lefties this year. His numbers at least say that, you know, and he took a good swing on the breaking ball the first one, and then he stayed on it. JD with walk, that was huge. That was a big one. I know he swung a few pitches, but the first one, he hit it hard the other way, and then the walk. Doogie with the big swing. It was a tough one, but a good one. You know, good baseball game.
All the jokes about the series and sweeps aside, just to kind of stop the bleeding in the four-game losing streak.
And they're ahead of us, right? So, I mean, we gained ground today. Now we know what's going on, and we know, I can tell you the schedule probably the rest of the season. Not our schedule, like a lot of people's schedule. You know, I know who's playing this weekend. They go to Tampa, they're going to get in at 5 in the morning, they play the Rays for 3. So, you know, I know the math doesn't help us, right? But, you know, when teams are playing against each other, you know, we have to win. We have to win. We haven't done that for a month, and we're still there, you know, and the guys know it. Obviously, big weekend against New York. The last time they were here, we played well against them. When we went over there, we played one good game, and then that happened. So we feel like pitching-wise, we're getting close with the starters. You know, we got Nate, we got Cutter, we got Michael. The bullpen, you know, we push him for 2 innings. He did an outstanding job, but he'll be down probably 1 or 2 days. So somebody else has stepped up. Matt Barnes did amazing. He was amazing today. You know, made some good pitches, used his fastball. You know, that's what we need. And, you know, to use his fastball to free somebody, that was huge.
Yeah, what do you think that could do for his conference, right?
It looked like there was a lot of confidence there when he got the last strikeout. But, you know, the one the other day, and we talk about it, it was 2 outs, 0-2. And we were 1 pitch away from getting out of it, and that happened. Today, he pounded the strike zone, he makes some good pitches, and he got early inning. Yeah, and a sack fly. That was a good one. You know, that was huge. Rafi roll over. I know he didn't want to roll over. We wanted to let it fly, but got the guy over. He got him in. He got the RBI, but, you know, it keeps adding up, you know, his numbers and everything that he's doing, you know, the 150 home runs and everything. You know, he's been solid since day one here. And he played good defense today. You saw it, ranging to the left at the end and all that stuff. So, you know, we'll keep doing what we're doing, you know. I mean, we should do it better than what we've been doing for a month and a half.
All right, a couple of things there after what Alex Cora said. And if you want to react to anything he said, you can. It's 617-779-7937. First thing, he mentioned Hosmer, and he is right about Hosmer. Hosmer, and I was talking about this when they actually signed him, or traded for him, rather. He's hitting .320 this year against lefties and .248 against righties. Very odd to see a left-handed hitter have splits like that. Very odd to see. But obviously, he is the big hit tonight. And the one thing that I just think about every time I watch Hosmer play now, and I'm not telling you I'm wowed by the guy. He's a good player. I'm not telling you he's not a good player, but I'm not wowed by Eric Hosmer, right? It's not like you traded for Juan Soto at the deadline, right? No, it's a guy that the Padres wanted to get rid of,
And he would not be here if it wasn't for the Juan Soto trade. That's just the reality of it. The Red Sox do not get Eric Hosmer if the Padres didn't trade for Juan Soto and they wanted to get rid of the money on the contract. I mean, that's the bottom line. They are paying the Red Sox, essentially, most of Eric Hosmer's money just to move on from the contract, right? So I'm not telling you that the Red Sox deserve a ton of credit for it. But for me, from just the perspective of watching these games every night, it's very nice to just watch the Red Sox and not have to worry about first base. And Hosmer's not the gold glove caliber first baseman he once was from a range perspective or anything along those lines, but he's a good defensive first baseman. I know some of the numbers won't tell you that this year, minus one defensive run saved, but he's a way better defensive first baseman than anything the Red Sox have had over the past 2 years. And just stabilizing that is nice to see. And of course, tonight you get the big hit from him as well, where he doubles on a bad slider, 100 miles an hour off the bat. He thought it was gone. It makes it a 4-3 game, and that's ultimately what the Red Sox would need to win the game. But, and this is what is so aggravating to me about Bloom. Think about the difference Hosmer has already made. There are routine plays that Franchi Cordero and Bobby Dalbec can't make. And last night, I would argue the ball that Bobby Dalbec went after that was going towards the stands and was going towards the tarp, Bobby Dalbec can't make that play. Eric Hosmer makes that play. So just having a legitimate major league first baseman for the first time, essentially, in the past 2 years of the Bloom era, it's just nice to see. Now, it shouldn't have taken this. It shouldn't have taken a Juan Soto trade to get to this point, but it is nice to have a real professional first baseman. We're not used to this crap here. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's kick it off tonight with David in Maryland. Hey, David.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for taking my call tonight.
Sure.
Yeah, I was hearing your earlier talk about, you know, it's a disgrace for the Red Sox to be looking up at the Orioles in the division. But I'm gonna tell you something, buddy. The Orioles, I know it might not be bad tonight, but the Orioles are actually a big improvement. I think that's, you know, what baseball in general thinks. All the Orioles are, you know, they're just a doormat, and that's true. In the past, the Orioles have been a doormat for other people, but it's not a disgrace for the Red Sox to look up to the Orioles because the Orioles are vastly improved. Now, I know
David, the Red Sox have a $207 million payroll. The Orioles have a $43 million payroll, and they just got rid of Trey Mancini and their closer. It is embarrassing that the Red Sox are looking up at the Baltimore Orioles. The Orioles were not planning on winning this season. The Red Sox were.
That's true. Oh, yeah, that's true. I don't think the Orioles are going to go to the playoffs. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, oh, they're going to go to the playoffs and they're going to win. But you also got to look at another team in this division that does not spend a lot of money, and they win too. They're called the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah, but David, David, hold on. You cannot compare the Baltimore Orioles to the Tampa Bay Rays. You realize that. I mean, come on. The Tampa Bay Rays are in the playoffs every season. This is the first year Baltimore has been good in a long time.
Well, you got that right. You're totally right about that. But what I'm saying, as far as payroll goes, their payroll is not much more than ours. I mean, it is a little more than ours, but not much more. So they're pretty much in the, you know, same ballpark for his payroll we go.
Okay, David, let me ask you this. Did you think that at the beginning of the season, the Red Sox, who were two wins away from a World Series last year, were going to be last in the division and looking up at the Baltimore Orioles?
Well, I didn't think y'all be as bad as you were, but I thought the Orioles would be improved. I mean, the Orioles couldn't get no worse. We couldn't get no worse. We already lost, 110 games 2 years ago. We had nowhere to go but up, you know?
Yeah, that's definitely true.
I mean, this is another case, too. You know, I know Brandon Hyde, he's not the genius of managers. He ain't the genius we had back in the old days of Earl Weaver. I understand that. But this guy, you know, he's actually, you know, a possible candidate of the year for, I mean, not necessarily because the Orioles are going to make the playoffs, because I don't think they will.
Oh, for manager of the year, David, I'm with you on that. And, David, I appreciate the call. I can't do too much more Orioles. But, yeah, he's definitely a candidate for the manager of the year, considering what that team was last year and what they've been this year. My whole point to his original statement, though, is I said earlier it's an embarrassment that the Red Sox are looking up at the Baltimore Orioles. I don't know how anybody doesn't feel that way. It's great that they got the win tonight, but that's an embarrassment. The Boston Red Sox, who were two wins away from the World Series last year, they should not be looking up at the Baltimore Orioles in the standings. That should never happen. Now, I also wanted to react to another thing Alex Cora said. He said we need to start getting 6 innings out of our starters. And in principle, I agree with him. That'd be really nice. But we're not living in an ideal world right now with these starters. Pavetta has basically not been good for more than a month and a half now. Winkowski, Cora pushed it with him tonight. And you could see in that sixth inning, he didn't have it. Winkowski was bad in that sixth inning. And this is not supposed to be an indictment on Winkowski, so don't get it twisted what I'm saying right here. Winkowski lost it. He had good stuff for five innings. I mean, not overwhelming stuff. I mean, we know Winkowski's not going to miss many bats, right? I mean, tonight, 45 swings, 7 whiffs, that's around 16%. So he's never going to miss a lot of bats. Now, I will give him credit. He got a ton of called strikes, 18 out of 93, which is, that's over 19%. So that'd be, among qualified starters, that'd be in the top three in the sport for, like, the entirety of the season. So he was doing a much better job locating, got more ground balls than he's been getting lately, limited the loud contact, really, until that sixth inning. So I thought Winkowski actually threw the ball really well tonight. That's how he's going to live. He's going to keep the ball on the ground, and he can't give up rockets. That's been his issue, because we just have to come to the realization with Josh Winkowski, he's not going to miss bats. He came into tonight minimum 50 pitches, or minimum 50 innings, I should say, pitched. He had the lowest swinging strike rate of the starters in Major League Baseball that had thrown at least 50 innings. He's just not going to miss bats, but he can still live through this and get through innings if he can just get more balls on the ground and limit the loud contact, and we saw that tonight from Winkowski. But what we also saw in the sixth inning is he had nothing left. There was nothing left in the tank. The guy was going on fumes. You could even tell he was starting to labor just physically out there. Not just that the stuff was diminishing, he was tired. He was taking forever to throw the ball because he was completely fatigued. So then here's the options for Alex Cora. Do I go to Davis to start the six? No, you can't go to Davis to start the six. Does anybody want Davis out there? Okay, well then Barnes is going to factor into the game at some point. And Barnes was better tonight. I'm not buying into the Matt Barnes. I'm not hopping on a bandwagon. I don't think that it exists anyway. There's not a Matt Barnes bandwagon. But I'm not going to look at Matt Barnes's performance and say this is an indicator of something going forward. I'm happy for the guy because obviously he doesn't want to suck, and he sucked forever now. Really, since he got the contract last season, July 11th of 2021, he has not been good since that point. Right, so when I look at it in terms of what he has to work with tonight, Whitlock's down because he threw two innings the other night. And then you look at the situation with Tanner Houck. He's, of course, out because of the injury. Brazier pitched last night and was not particularly good in that game. Sal Amora has been getting a lot of work as of late. So I understand why Cora says that we have to start getting six innings out of our starters. And they pushed it with Winkowski, and he was burnt by it. Winkowski on the hook for the three earned runs in that particular inning. But does the alternative work out better for the Red Sox? I don't know. I really don't know at this particular point in time. Like, really, ideally, what you'd like to do tonight, what a real major league team would have done tonight, and a team that had a real major league bullpen, pretty damn simple. What they would have done is they would have said, you know what? Winkowski gave us five good ones, and this is what the Red Sox would have done last year. Winkowski gave us five good ones, let's go to the bullpen. That's what they should have done tonight. That's what they should have done. But the reality is this, it's actually a decision for Cora. Think about that. That's what is so embarrassing about, and that's what pisses me off so much about how bad Heim Bloom has been at his job. That's how embarrassing it is. The manager knows after five innings. Alex Cora is a very smart guy. We would all agree on this. He's watching the game. He's watching the sixth inning. He knows that he's fading Winkowski. Now, I don't understand why they didn't have a guy up. It was like this was all predetermined, right? But he knows if he had four good guys out in the bullpen that he could depend on, he knows that he would have taken Winkowski out of the game. He would have done it, right? If this is, say, hypothetically a playoff game, Winkowski would have been out after the fifth inning. I mean, obviously, Winkowski would not be starting in a playoff game, but you get my point, just for the sake of the argument. Okay, so if that's the situation, then you go to the bullpen guys there. Right, but the problem is this is now a decision for Cora. He has to decide, do I go to the bullpen? Do I let Winkowski go out there because he's fatigued? And that's the problem with the Red Sox, and that's part of the reality of why I don't think this team is making a run to the postseason. All right, 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett taking you up until midnight. Okay, so if you want to weigh in on this win for the Red Sox, do you think this is the start of something? Can they get hot here based on the schedule? Also on the table, if you want to weigh in on Heim Bloom, that's on the table as well. It's 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett with you on EI.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Schreiber is ready. The pitch. Swing and a miss. He got him on a slider to end the ball game. John Schreiber very emotional on the mound. Stomping out round there, gets a hug from Plawicki as the Red Sox hang on to beat the Orioles 4-3. They snap the four-game losing streak in and out, 55-58.
Joe Castiglione, the Hall of Famer, on the call tonight after the Red Sox beat the Baltimore Orioles. Finally, a series win. I know it's a one-gamer, but it's a series win, people. John Schreiber's been tremendous for this team. Ninth in win probability added for relievers. He's one of the guys in this bullpen. Him, Garrett Whitlock, that you can legitimately depend on. Now, I know Whitlock gave it up the other day, but for the most part, we can all agree Whitlock is basically a lockdown reliever for you. Schreiber's been pretty much the same thing all season long for this team. And it's a good find by Chaim Bloom. I criticized him a lot, but that was a great find because nobody knew that guy was going to be good again. He sucked for the majority of his career. He comes over here. The Red Sox figure him out. And he's been unequivocally one of the best relievers in the sport. It's a really good story. In a year that has really been miserable for the Red Sox, he's been a really good find for them. Now, the only problem is the guy that Chaim Bloom gave money to in the offseason they were going to depend on for high leverage innings, Jake Diekman, he's now on the Chicago White Sox because he wasn't good. So that's the issue. Yeah, it's great that you find this under-the-radar guy. But the problem is the guy that you paid was not good, and now you don't even have him on the roster anymore because you traded him away to Chicago just to get off that money because he's been horrible. And then we see what we see from a guy like Darwinson Hernandez, who now factors into the equation. I don't want to see that guy ever again on the mound for the Red Sox. Ship that guy to the moon. Get him out of here. He should not be pitching in Major League games. He sucks. He's worse than he was a season ago. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Mike. He is in Connecticut tonight. Hello, Mike. How are you?
What's up, buddy?
How you doing?
Brian, did you ever see that movie with Eddie Murphy and Martin Lawrence called Life?
I've never seen it, Mike. I know the movie, obviously, and the reference, but I've never seen it, no.
Okay, because there was a character in that movie, and his name was Ken Getright. Now, who would we assume that Ken Getright to with our Boston Red Sox?
Chaim Bloom?
I'm gonna miss you, Brian. You never miss a question. Now let me ask you a question, Brian.
Yep.
And let's break this down a little. He's supposed to be this analytic genius, correct?
He's supposed to be this incredible talent evaluator. I don't know about that either, Mike. Okay.
All right, but so let's just give him the analytics. Baseball now is you hope your starting pitcher go 5-6 innings, have a strong bullpen, and you have guys that hit home runs. They're 0-3. They have none of that.
You're right.
No power. They're 0-3, and this guy is supposed to be up to date with the game. And Brian, how could he have not gotten rid of JD Martinez? He is completely done. I thought he looked bad in 2020. He's even worse now, Brian.
Mike, he's hitting under .120 since July 15th. He's doing nothing.
It's a disgrace.
I mean, I almost like legitimately feel bad for the guy because he was such a great player for so long. He just looks cooked. He looks absolutely done. And not to mention, Mike, his contract is done. His contract is up after the season.
Right. Why not get rid of him? Do you think that they could have got better prospects for him or Vasquez at the trade deadline?
Maybe Vasquez, Mike, because Vasquez, he was like a bigger commodity than JD, it felt like at the time. Because remember, the Mets, and I know the Mets were in on JD too, but the Mets were in on him too. A couple of teams needed a catcher with a little bit of pop in the bat. Now, I've always thought that Vasquez was an incredibly overrated defensive catcher. He does not call a good game. You look at all these pitchers that have thrown to both, like, I'm not saying an even amount, but close. They all better. And look, Plawecki throws changeups down to second base, but they all better.
He can't throw the ball.
Yeah, they all have better ERAs with Plawecki than they do Vasquez. But for whatever reason, I mean, the guy, I give him credit. I mean, he sucked last year. He had a 690 OPS at the time of the deadline. Yeah, at the time of the deadline, he got that up to 790. Give him credit that he actually had value at the trading deadline. I never thought that would be the case. The Red Sox themselves are trying to trade him in the offseason.
Well, I got to tell you, O'Brien, he should have got rid of Martinez, even if he got something. You know, and I know he's finished. He's not going to be on the team anymore. He should have got rid of him, even if he got like, let's get Cassius up here. Let him DH, play a little first base. Let's see what he's got. I'm not buying into anything, Brian. This team isn't going anywhere. There's too many teams ahead of them, and they just don't have it.
Yeah, Mike, I would say this about Cassius, though. At this point, I mean, you might as well wait on the kid. You know what I mean? You might as well start fresh. I mean, he's coming back from an injury. Not exactly hitting the crap out of the ball at the minor league level. You might as well wait him at this point. Like, you would feel like the Cassius thing I thought at the beginning of the season was going to be to help them win. But at this point, you may just wait on him, honestly. Now, maybe you bring him up in September, but I can't see them rushing him up now.
I don't know, Brian. He's got to give you something more than Martinez can give you. Even if you platooned him when it was a lefty. Because Martinez, he is just...
Yeah, and Mike,
I'm glad he made it around the bases. I didn't even think he was going to make it around the bases.
I know. Well, and two, I heard Joe or I should say Will and Sean were talking about this after the game tonight. Yeah. You feel bad for Cora's in a weird position, right? Oh. Like, because how do you go to him and say, hey, JD, he's already put him sixth. Hey, JD, I'm going to hit you eighth. How do you do that? Like, it's just a difficult conversation.
Brian, just give maybe if you gave him 3 days off, but I'll tell you one thing. You got him in. I love Sean McDonough. He tells it like it is, boy.
He's the best.
I really enjoy what he's done there.
Yeah, he's the best.
He really is. He, you know, and that's why a lot of people said, oh, the Red Sox will not, because he would always tell it like it is. But, you know, I really enjoyed it. I mean, he was so aggravated that he didn't take Winkowski out.
I know.
It's almost like he wanted to go down the field and get it about himself. He was so aggravated.
Hey, I don't blame Sean. You could tell. Right. I was with Sean. He didn't have any stuff anymore. And then I'm sitting back and I'm thinking about it. Like, Cora's in trouble here. What's he going to do? He's going to leave Winkowski or bring one of his bullpen arms. And either way, he's screwed. He's got no good plan, Mike.
And one more thing, buddy, and you know I'm.
But I felt bad for Winkowski, Mike. I felt bad for Winkowski because I felt he threw the ball really well for five innings, and I felt bad for him because it's like it almost ruined the outing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but Brian, you got to be honest. At his age, he should have a little more stamina to go more than 5 innings and be out of gas at 77.
Good point. Good point.
But I'll tell you one thing, and I just. I really think that Bloom is not going to survive into the offseason, Brian. If they can get rid of Dombrowski, who won him a World Series, they can get rid of Bloom. I don't know what you think about that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, Mike. And, hey, I appreciate the phone call, my friend. His line's open if you want to grab it. It's 617-779-7937. I don't think it's going to happen during this season. Now, here's the one thing that Heimblum's going to be aware of, and obviously he's aware of it. He's not an idiot. I mean, I disagree with pretty much every move he makes, but the guy's not an idiot. He's a smart guy. He knows what's going on. Although, you can make, I mean, sometimes it may not look like it, but Heimblum has got this team paying the tax, okay? And if you're John Henry, you're the ownership group, you got to think, well, why the hell are we paying the tax for a team that's not going to be in the postseason, right? That's the thing that I think is going to get ownership's attention. And if the Red Sox don't start playing better here, and now I think there's some hope here that they can be relevant for at least a couple of more weeks if they play well against the Yankees over the weekend based on what they're trotting out there from a rotation standpoint, and then the Pirates. The Red Sox should be able to go on a nice little run here over the next, I would say, 5-6 games. Now, Montas is a beast. He goes on Saturday, although he sucked his first outing. For the Yankees, that's a difficult matchup. We saw the Red Sox against him earlier this season. Now, the Red Sox did get to Montas. But my overwhelming point with this is if the Red Sox don't stay relevant at least through September, and the ballpark is, and it hasn't been at capacity in a couple of weeks here, right? and the ballpark's not at capacity, well, then the owners are going to start to ask themselves the question, did we pick the wrong guy? Because we're paying for a tax. We're paying the tax for a team that's irrelevant. That's a really bad look for Heimblum. All these other teams that are paying the tax are relevant. The Phillies are relevant. We know the Dodgers are relevant. The Padres are relevant. All these other teams, the Yankees, they are relevant. The Red Sox are the only team at the moment that isn't relevant. And that is going to be the thing that burns Heimblum. All right, 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett taking you up until midnight. Okay, so if you want to win in the Red Sox game tonight in particular, are you starting to at least see a little bit of hope based on the schedule? Do they have a chance? If you want to react to Heimblum and everything that transpired at the deadline, that's on the table as well. And I will put the Patriots on the table because this is a really weird situation tonight. Joe Judge and Matt Patricia going back and forth with play calling duties. What did you make of that? 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett with you on EI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.